The man behind the desk leaned back in his office chair, knitted his fingers behind his head, and with a smile at his mouth, but his eyes were merely a level gaze, he said,
"I appreciate your position, son, but there's no deal till the money crosses the table."
My heart sank because I saw no way out. He was right, absolutely correct in his actions and words. Many years ago, I was a young man with a family. There were a lot of good times, and sometimes not so good either, in the rough and tumble of trying to do life. I was always struggling to make ends meet, constantly trying to make sense of myself, the thinking of other people, and was generally pretty confused about how life worked. All I knew was that I needed to work. I had a family, and I had been taught by my father that it was my responsibility to provide for my family by all means necessary. There weren't a lot of jobs at the time, so I did everything I knew how to do to make ends meet. I was a carpenter at the time, so I built houses with other desperate young men for a small wage. I also washed windows, picked apples, worked tobacco, painted, and any other legal way I could to make a dollar here and there, all hopefully adding up to making a provision. We needed a place to stay. I had most of the deposit and funds necessary to turn on the water and power, but not all the money for the deposit and first month's rent. I wanted the man to let us into the house without my actually having all the money. That's when he said those words, "There is no deal till the money crosses the table." I don't remember all the circumstances, but God made a way. Money happened somehow, the deal was struck, and we had shelter. Today, the Lord reminded me of that fellow's words and how those without Christ are still singing, "Give me shelter." They haven't got ears to hear that God has made a way where there doesn't appear to be a way. The devil will tell us,
"There's no deal till the money crosses the table."
But God says the price has been paid with the blood of Jesus, and our need for shelter has been acquired for any who would take the Lord up on his offer of redemption. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That phrase, "it is finished," is where the money crossed the table and the price was paid. I think an explanation of the Greek is oh so very important for us to grasp, and we shouldn't just gloss over this. The phrase is in the perfect tense, describing an action which is viewed as having been completed in the past, once and for all, not needing to ever be repeated. Ever. The last cry of Christ from the cross, "It is finished," is a good example of the perfect tense meaning. It, the atonement, has been accomplished completely once and for all time. Let's contrast this with the Old Testament view of a sacrifice for sin. It had to be done every year, and even more often if necessary. Over and over and over. It was expensive, very expensive. Read Numbers 28. "No, it is extreme to me. The Israelites had to offer up their finest livestock, so I could see how the people might see it all as such a huge waste." Think. All that prime beef going up in smoke. According to Leviticus 5:6, each had to bring a female from the flock, a lamb or a goat, as a sin offering. "So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin. And if you were too poor to afford that, the law made provision to bring two doves or pigeons. And if you were too poor for that, you could bring a small quantity of grain. As a result, everyone could afford a peace offering, and everyone was afforded opportunity to make a sin offering. And they had to bring the good offerings too, not the blind, lame, or maimed goats, lambs, birds, bull, or moldy grain. Oh no, it had to be the good stuff, lest you get accused for acting like Cain, who gave God his second best, and your sacrifice be counted as insufficient. All that killing and butchering, all that blood, think about it. It was huge and went on and on. Then there had to be people to haul off the parts the Lord said to burn outside the camp, too. Man, oh man, this was expensive and a lot of work. The air smelled of burning carcasses and blood. And yes, blood has a smell. And when it was in those quantities, it was an awful smell. It was hot, smelly, messy work that had to take place every year at every feast, if not more often. And then came Jesus. Oh yeah, then came Jesus, the righteous Son of God, the innocent ultimate sacrifice given because God loves us so much He gave His only Son to satisfy the debt of sin upon mankind. He didn't abolish the law, but accomplished the law as a sacrifice once and for all, never needing to be repeated ever again. It was finished. Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions, wounded for our peace, and by his stripes we are healed. The money has crossed the table and the deal is done. It is finished. What do you think? Thank you for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.